And they directly address the fact that life has its awful times. These psalms express deep distress, a longing for God to make things better, and the feeling that God seems absent. I imagine we've all had times when we feel like that. And today we see that the Bible recognizes such times, such struggles, and in these psalms we're encouraged to be honest with God about them, not ashamed of them. No need to pretend it's all okay when it's not with him. But before we dive in, a word of context. These psalms were written by the sons of Korah. They would have been men, the temple musicians. And Psalms 42 and 43 are thought to be actually one psalm, as in many Hebrew manuscripts, they are written as one. And that makes sense because there's a refrain, like a hymn chorus, verses 5 and 11 in Psalm 42 and verse 5 in Psalm 43 are all exactly the same, word for word. They say, "Why are you downcast, my soul? Why so distressed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." This chorus, three times over, breaks the Psalms into three parts. And in each part, the psalmist does three things. He expresses his feelings very honestly to God. He makes himself think and remember. And then he finds a new inward attitude based on hope and trust. And then he goes round that loop again and again. We're going to look at those three things, which are repeated three times in Psalms 42 and 43. You might like to have it open in front of you. But first, what was the psalmist so disturbed about? We don't know for sure. It may have been that this psalmist was writing when he was cut off from the people of God, cut off from home, from Jerusalem, and from the temple where God was worshipped. Or it may be it was when all the Israelites were in exile, far, far away from Jerusalem and home. Whether it was one person or the whole people of God, being cut off from the temple in Jerusalem meant being cut off from the very heart of the people's life with God, the place where they worshipped, where they made the required sacrifices, where they remembered and celebrated the sacred feasts. And that's evidently a deeply unhappy and upsetting situation. So let's look at what the psalmist does in his distress. First of all, he expresses himself very honestly to God. At the beginning of Psalm 42, he says, "I'm parched." Here in the UK, we mostly take rain for granted and long for the sun. I do, anyway. But in Palestine, it's the opposite. The sun beats down relentlessly from May to September and bakes the land, and most of the rivers dry up. That's okay for camels, who have their own inbuilt water conservation equipment, but for a deer, it can be torture, desperately needing water to survive. And that's how I myself feel in relation to God, says the psalmist. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Given the importance of rain in Palestine, it's not surprising that river and stream, fountain and well, spring and shower are images applied to God. God alone is the spring of living water in Jeremiah 17. He gives his people water from his river of delights, and with him is the fountain of life in Psalm 36. And here in Psalm 42 speaks of thirsting for the living God. The psalmist's longing is so great he can't eat. He cries and cries in his distress day and night. Others are taunting him, "Where is your God?" And perhaps such words bite into him because he wonders too. Where is God? Is God powerless to help? Or does God not care? Where is he? Which leads to another honest expression of his feelings. I'm overwhelmed. Verses 5 and 6 say, my soul is downcast. And in verse 7, the picture is of water crashing over waterfalls and sweeping over him. I feel overwhelmed, drowning, crushed. I desperately need something to hold on to save me from the flood. In the Bible, this crashing of waters is an image of the powers of chaos and danger. I'm parched, I'm overwhelmed, I'm desperate. Three times over, the psalmist really expresses his distress to God in no uncertain terms. No pretending, no hiding, no embarrassment or shame. He tells it like it is. And then he makes himself think and remember God's goodness in the past. He remembers how it used to be to worship God together with others. In verse 4, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving. He's reminding himself that his current distress isn't permanent. It had a before, and as we'll see, will have an after. It hasn't always been this way. He remembers the happy days gone by when he worshipped God with the others in Jerusalem, when he knew God close, knew his love, knew him as his saviour and God. And this gives him hope that one day he'll be in that place again. Verse 3 of Psalm 43, send forth your light and your faithful truth to guide me. I will go to the altar of God in joy and delight to praise again. And so the psalmist is somehow able to find fresh hope and trust in God, even while he's still in his distress state. In that three times chorus in verses 5 and 11 and verse 5 in Psalm 43, Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Of course, 3,000 years on from when the psalm was written, we understand my Saviour in a much fuller sense than the psalmist, as we know Jesus Christ as the Saviour. We don't need the temple in Jerusalem to worship God. Sacrifices are no longer required, as Christ's death on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice for all people for all time. And in Christ, we have not only the hope, but the promise of the day when all things are made new under his eternal rule of love, justice, and joy, and of his presence with us now by his Holy Spirit, the Comforter. But even with the psalmist's limited perspective, he tells himself to put his hope in God. He knows that when we look expectantly for the act of God which will come in time, we find this hope gives us strength now. We can keep going if we can live in hope. Where there is hope, there is life. And it's this hope that enables the psalmist to say, I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. So three times the psalmist goes round this loop, expressing his deep distress to God, remembering God's goodness in the past, finding hope to keep going. And then again, expressing his deep distress to God, remembering God's goodness in the past, finding hope to keep going. I find it very true to life and comforting that he has to keep doing this again and again. Because the experience of distress, of God's seeming absence or silence, can be something that lasts. Sometimes, of course, God lifts us from such distress, comes to our aid quickly and completely, and praise him indeed that he does. But the Bible doesn't pretend that's always the case. Here it is recognized that it may be a continuing reality that one has to keep struggling with. Deep distress and the seeming absence of God is a common experience. And Jesus himself experienced such distress in the Garden of Gethsemane and then experienced the seeming absence of God as he died on the cross. Such thoughts and feelings are nothing to be ashamed of. I don't know what suffering and struggles you may be experiencing right now. But the message of these psalms is that whatever situation we may be in, however deeply troubling, painful, and distressing, we can call out honestly to God telling him just what we're thinking and feeling. No holding back, no holds barred. And we can choose to put our hope in him, trusting his love and grace is always with us. Let me finish with some words about these psalms by the biblical scholar John Goldingay. He says, "Although Christ has come, we experience times when God seems absent, forgetful, abandoning, dead. At such times, even as Christians, we may pour out our despair to God, as long as we go on to recall the objective realities of our faith, to recall our personal and corporate experience of God's love and praise and prayer, and to plead with God for a new experience of Christ in his grace and truth, coming out to fetch us and to lead us home to God's own presence. Then, in faith in the answering of this prayer, we wait for God in hope and live in praise." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can cry out to you in whatever distressing situations we face. For ourselves and others in need, help us to remember and hold on to your goodness and put our hope and trust in you, moment by moment, day by day. Come to all in distress today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jill. In response, we'll be singing two hymns or songs based on Psalm 42. And if you'd like someone to pray with you or for you during the singing of these songs, Ben will be at the back of the church. So let's now stand and sing, first as the deer pants for the water and then as pants the heart for cooling streams.
Thank you.
Please could you sit or kneel for our prayers of intercession. We'll be using a response on page 2 of our service sheets. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's pray. As God's beloved children, let us come to him and open our hearts to him. Father, you know both our gifts as a congregation and the needs of those in this parish. We ask you to bless our ministry in this place, strengthen and encourage all church leaders, and deepen our faith and sure hope. We pray for our archbishops, Justin and Stephen, for our bishops, Christopher and Caraway, Jonathan, our archdeacon, and Anne, our acting area dean. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Inspire them with the vision of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, heal our nation and all the nations of what is in the past and still corrodes the present, so that we may build on good foundations and learn to govern ourselves with honesty, respect for one another, and sensitivity to needs. We pray for our Prime Minister and his Cabinet as they deal with the many compelling problems facing our country, the cost of living crisis, the climate emergency, and the needs of refugees and asylum seekers. Grant them wisdom, compassion, and a desire for justice. We pray for those countries suffering from war or conflict, including Ukraine, Sudan, Israel, Palestine, Niger, and Syria, to name just a few. Convert the hearts of those who commit violence and wage war. Turn them away from persecution towards peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, be present in the daily living of our homes and in all our relationships. Make us more trustworthy in our friendships and strengthen our resolve to live our faith in action. Help us to serve all who live in our parish with compassion and to bring Jesus to the heart of our community. We pray for the Milkwood Summer Programme and for Pippa Laurie as she leads it and all those who volunteered to serve. We commit to you all the young people who will be attending it, that they may have fun and also experience your love and light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We call to mind all whose capacity to trust has been damaged, for those who are victims of injustice or corruption, for the very young and the very old, the frail, the vulnerable, and the bereaved. In a moment's silence, let's bring before God someone known to us who's suffering or is unwell or grieving the loss of someone close to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember those who have completed the earthly life in faith and have now seen you face to face. May they know the peace of eternity. We too look forward to sharing that life of joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you, Lord our God, and for the glorious hope you have set before us. We end our prayers with a sung version of the Lord's Prayer.
We're now going to have our notices, but before we do that, I'm going to read out some bans of marriage. So I have the pleasure of publishing the bans of marriage between Simon Rendell and Isabel Davis. This is for the first time of asking, and if you know of any reason in law why they are not to marry, you are to declare it now. That is good. Lord, we pray your blessing on Simon and Isabel as they prepare for the wedding day and their life hereafter. Help them to keep you at the centre, and may your peace rest upon them. Amen. A special welcome if you are new or visiting. If you want to find out a bit more about what's going on in the parish, you can grab a newsletter at the end, which on your way out, or visit our website. Details are on your service sheet. And if you want to get regular updates, you can go to our website and click on the thing that says Join Church Suite, and then you can get our regular updates, which I send out. A couple of things coming up. It's fairly quiet over the summer, quite a few people are away, but there are a couple of things. This week, Wednesday, 12:30, we have our Seniors Lunch Club and a hymn at lunchtime. And if you want to come along to that, then do either let Jill know or Julia Kirby-Jones know, so we can make sure that there is enough food for you. How senior is senior, Jill? I've never asked this question. How senior do you have to be to come to Seniors Lunch Club?
We don't have a hard and fast rule, actually, because some of the people who help might be in the same age bracket as some of those seated. So it's if you consider yourself a senior and would love to come and enjoy okay. a meal. Is that right? Yes, as far as I know, no hard and fast rules. Okay. We're flexible.
Okay. Well, I mean, I have got some grey hair, so I don't know if that counts. Or anyway, as Trevor heard in the prayers, we've got the Milkwood Summer Programme. This is something we do every year in the Milkwood Community Park for children aged, I think, primary school upwards, isn't it? I think.
6 to 16.
Okay, 6 to 16. So, yeah, double check, please. Actually, it's probably in there. And thank you for everyone's already volunteered. We've got quite a few volunteers already, which is fantastic. We could do a couple more volunteers for a few more dates. And there's a sign-up sheet at the back there where Jill is. So if you can help, please do, particularly on the 21st and 22nd, we're a little bit short on those days. So if you feel you can give some time, it's from 10 till 2 each day, if that's your commitment. If you can do a day or two, that would be fantastic. Pippa Laurie is going to lead that for us in Bex's absence, but also the clergy team will be there for support as well. And as you know, or for those that may not know, but sadly Bex is no longer with us. She's gone to work at XLP. She's already started her new job, I believe. So we are recruiting right now for a youth team leader and a children and families team leader. So that could be one person, that could be two different people. If you are interested or you know of anyone that might be suitable, please visit our website, get them to visit our website. Application forms have to be in by the 30th of August. So it's all available on the website. Download, share, communicate, social media, however you like to communicate, spread the word so that we get lots of good applications for that. And then Jill, you've got a notice as well, I think.
Just wanted to add to that comment about the Seniors Lunch Club. We're short of people to give people lifts to and from it. If you happen to be free this coming Wednesday with a car and could volunteer for that, it would be from 12 noon for half an hour till 12:30, and again at 2:00 for 12:30. Do see me afterwards if that's something you might like to help with.
And also to say, obviously we need to pray for Milkwood Summer Programme, so please do keep it in your prayers. But also we're having a time where we're going to gather to pray together on the 20th at 5:00, actually in Milkwood Community Park, just for about 20 minutes. So if you want to come and pray with us in the park, please do join us then. I think that's all the notices, so back to Trevor.
And in our offertory hymn, our offertory song, we acknowledge our dependence on God as we go into the week ahead. So let's stand and sing, Faithful One, So Unchanging.
Faithful One, so unchanging, ageless One, you're my rock.
Rock of Peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone. Faithful one, so unchanging. Ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is in you alone.
Let's take a moment to thank God for the gifts he has given us. Let's offer those gifts back to him, our energy, our prayer, our love, our time, and money. We acknowledge that all things come from you, O Lord, and of your own do we give you. Amen. And so let's end our service by saying the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.